All right, we'll go ahead and get started with our post-race press conference with our dual number one race winner, Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Team Penske Ford. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Let's start right here with Matt.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. I mostly say this in jest, but they changed the championship format, and after the first checkered flag, you're the points leader.
It's a start. It's a good start, but I do like that. It's funny.
And, it seemed like just from the outside observer that the Fords could pretty much, especially when they were linked together, kind of impose their will. Was that just a car number thing, or is there something to that that you guys have a really good package for Sunday?
It's never one thing in any form of motorsports or any type of track. You know, I think what you've seen there is, you know, some good teamwork. You know, I think, you know, you've seen RFK kind of all just get in line together. And they were pretty committed to each other. You know, and Ryan and I kind of had our thing going on. And, you know, as much as it looked like we were all working together, it's kind of like, you know, I never really seen an RFK car most of the day, right? We may be side by side, but, you know, I was kind of working with the 12 most of the time. And just because it happened to be that way, it just worked out that way. And, you know, Ryan did a great job. You know, those are all the, you know, there's always a plan when the race starts. And everyone always says, well, the plan's the plan until lap one, right? But for us, it goes throughout the race. And, you know, the plan worked all the way down to the end there, to the last, you know, green, white checker. So, you know, proud of everybody. You know, our execution on pit road with Nick Hensley, our gas man, he nailed it. You know, Coleman on the roof did great. Car was pretty good. So, yeah, film obviously is great right now, but still got work to do. And, you know, that's the ultimate trophy to try to win. I will say the dual trophy is badass. I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it is a cool, cool trophy. Not as cool as that one, but it's neat looking.
All right. Any more questions for Joey? Go back to Claire and then up to Zach. We'll just go ahead and start with John, and then we'll go over to Claire.
John, you'll be fan buzz over here on the right. So I was curious, after this offseason, how important is this race as, I guess, knocking off the rust, kind of figuring out the best ways for pushing, that sort of thing? Because I know listening to Blaney, like, early in the race, he was going three car lengths ahead with each push, but then he started backing it up a little bit to go, you know, like, 1.5 car lengths, which kind of helped you guys time your stuff a little better.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we were just kind of, I think the duels, you know, there's a few things that you try to learn, right? You try to learn what your car's doing. You try to, you know, figure out the draft, what you can and can't do. You know, the draft changes, you know, before the pit stop, you know, when, you know, Ryan and I were trying to get up there and we couldn't because we had no help behind us, you know, so like everybody's, if the third car's saving fuel with you, you don't have the energy to get there and like actually move the line forward. So, you know, we made a couple attempts, but it takes, you know, 3 to 4 cars that are committed to get there. We just couldn't find that, you know, before the pit stop, but the well-executed pit stops will put us in a position to afterwards go race. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we learned some things. I think the whole field has probably learned that pushing each other is pretty sketchy. Yeah, I was thinking about it driving over here. I mean, Daytona 500 could be a total wreck fest because, you know, if you think about, you know, the duels, it's a heat race, and everyone's like, well, don't tear up your car, you know, get what you can out of it, but don't crash. And we wrecked a lot of stuff, and that's everyone not racing for the Daytona 500. So say a prayer. I mean, it's going to be crazy.
Go ahead, Claire.
Claire Beeline, Dialed In Journal. A lot of people do think that you can protect your car and that you don't have to push it in this race. But if you didn't go that extra, put it on the edge, would you walk away? How much, you know, for the casual fan, would you not be ready to compete in the Daytona 500?
Yeah, I think there's a balance there, right? You want to go out there and see what you can do. And I put my car in, you know, every position I possibly could. I was on the bottom, tight on cars. I was up top. I was a second car pushing. I was a lead car. I tried to get in every spot I possibly could to get an idea of like my strengths and weaknesses. And then you try to go to work on them, but it's hard to work on them the next couple of days, right? Like you got, you know, it's a couple 50-minute practices, and you got half the cars out there. You're like, you have 20 cars out there is one thing, and you have 40 cars out there is a whole nother thing. But you know, when we go out there and practice tomorrow, it's going to be, 10, 12 cars at most, so it's hard to learn a lot in practice, but we'll try our best to try to get some directions.
And you said you thought the Daytona 500 would be crazy, and it kind of always is. And the duels are always a little that way. What leads you to believe in a little deeper sense that it might be more like that this Sunday?
Just everyone's pushability seemed awful. Everybody was. I didn't see any car that was taking a push that was like comfortable on the straightaways. A lot of cars were just squirrely, right? We've seen, every wreck. I haven't watched the replays yet, but they all happened on the straightaway. So I'm assuming that's from pushes. More times than not, that's what it's from. I'm assuming everyone's just pushability is weak.
Can go over here to Zach and then Bob.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Just what is, I realize it's a heat race, like you said. What does this do to set the tone for you guys between now and Sunday afternoon when the green flag for the 500 drops?
There's no doubt it's a momentum builder. That part's great. It's 10 points, point leader, to your point. Cool. But yeah, I mean, that's it, right? I mean, the goal is to go out there and try to, score some points. And, Ryan and I were able to, max points, right? And first and second, you couldn't draw it up any better, right? When you come to a green white checker and you get your teammate behind you and you get the lane choice, I couldn't draw it up any better than that. And the trust I have with Ryan is pretty deep at this point. And I think that's, back and forth, and that's just years of working together. And he's a really smart speedway racer as well. So it's fun to work with him because he's got some different views than I do. But we're able to, take those and put them together and be really strong. So, hope to stay around each other for the whole race. It's definitely, we're pretty tough.
All right, go ahead, Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Did you notice anything different with the Chevrolets with their new body?
I did not. But I also did not get near them. I think at one point I may have had, I started behind the 48. We were saving fuel. No one's really doing much. Not yet. But all signals point that we're going to be pretty strong. So I think we'll see as the season goes along. Yeah, I was. I don't know what's different to make the whole field, that way. It could be everyone being more aggressive, setup-wise, coming from qualifying. Could be a little tire change that, maybe no one really recognizes or sees, right? Just could be a different thing like that may be different. I don't know. It's interesting to see the whole field like that, though.
All right. Any more questions for Joey? All right, Joey. Cool. Thanks for coming in tonight.
All right. Thank you. See you.